With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey guys, it's Colby Cohen here. You're listening to Nasty Knuckles.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorelia? Back from another vacay? Tell you what, man. Whew, must be nice. Hawaii.
Hawaii? More like Winnipeg and the mainland. The
weather was beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was kind of like Hawaii.
The scenery? Yeah. I know.
Maybe not the scenery, but maybe the weather.
The weather was good. Yeah, you look a little tan.
Yeah, I think so.
Did you get
so.
Some sun when you were there?
I did. Sun was
you
shining.
Did?
It was 85 plus the whole time I was there, Nast.
That's actually unbelievable.
It's actually unbelievable. It's unheard of.
Wow.
It was snow layer last year at that time.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was my first time back in over 3 years pre-COVID,
so
it was nice.
Must have been pretty cool,
though. Yeah, it was.
Back, see family, good experience. Everything. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. How are you making out?
Yeah, you know, just holding the fort down, doing all the work for Nasty Knuckles along with D-ball and baller, you
organizing
know.
Organizing all the gas.
Yeah.
Keeping the studio clean.
Yeah. Stew.
Primed.
The stew. Yeah. Keeping it primed. Yeah. No, same old. Elvis had a tournament last weekend and they ended up winning it. So that was cool. Watch him celebrate. He's got some interesting celebrations, you know.
Oh, yeah.
As we've seen.
Can you show one?
Well, he wasn't humping the post this time, so we could probably show his Sally from this past weekend. But
you got any footage?
He's got it. Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, let's post it.
Yeah, we will. But yeah, just big trade right away. Danny B.
Yeah,
getting to work,
making some ripples.
Yeah, traded my good buddy Ivan Provorov.
Yeah,
Provy knew it was coming. I think it's time for a change for him, and I think he welcomes that. But I would have to say this is probably one of the best trades we've seen from the Flyers in the last few years. Got quite a bit back for Ivan, you know, a first-round pick, 2 second-round picks. Got a D-man from the Kings, Sean Walker, who's played, you know, almost 250 NHL games. A backup goalie, which I don't understand that part of it with Cal Peterson. You know, a lot of people are saying that, you know, they're looking to trade Carter. I think he's listening. I don't know if that would happen, but also a prospect and baller. Say the name properly because I don't want to screw it up.
I believe it's pronounced Helga Granz.
Granz.
Granzy.
Yeah, that's right. Granzy? You know Granzy.
I know Granzy.
He's big D, man.
He's back.
He's back. He's just getting here. But quite a bit for Provy, which you would expect, you know. You're right. You didn't know Granzy was coming back. Oh, Granzy.
I don't think he's coming back that soon.
We'll have to get Granzy in the stew. We'll have to get him in and see what he's thinking. But
sorry about that.
But honestly, you know, Danny probably was shopping Provy to a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And, man, he came up. you know, he came up pretty good here.
Yeah.
Like, this is a pretty good first trade.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I'm happy for him. Happy for Provy. The only thing I do feel bad for Provy is you walk right into Mike Babcock.
How is he back?
I don't know how. Talking about someone being back. Babsy's back. Like, how back does again. This happen, man?
Oh, man.
I'm sure Johnny Gaudreau must be loving this. But we don't know. Maybe he's Babs. A changed man.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Babsy's a changed man.
Who knows?
We'll have to call Commie up.
Yeah, get him back on the pod. And
what he thinks. That's him and Luch were playing golf this past week after we just had Big Luch on. Anyway, back to the trade. Danny did a really good job here.
Yeah, nice return. I think it's a great place to start.
Yep.
Loading up on some picks.
Especially with this draft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's supposed to be a very, very dense draft. So hopefully nail those picks.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people are happy right away, you know, with Danny, with his first move here as the Flyers GM.
I want to throw a little note in here. So they got the 22nd pick in that trade, excuse me. Claude Giroux drafted 22nd, Simone Gagné. Brian Boucher, they've had some luck drafting 22.
Wow. All right.
It's a nice little tidbit. Right.
That is a good little tidbit. Debo sent him a text to tell Baller that, I think, but I'm kidding. But that is interesting, and as we've talked about today with our guest, this is a deep draft.
Yeah.
And he was saying basically what Baller just brought up there. So great picking up another first rounder.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fun summer here seeing, and I'm sure Danny's got a lot more.
Oh, yeah, he's not done.
I've talked to him the last few days, and he's like,
excited.
He's busy and excited, like very, very busy. But
sell the farm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, people probably don't want to hear it, but most do. Like, to rebuild, this
yeah,
is what you
unfortunately,
have to do.
That's the nature of the business.
Whether you liked Provy or not, whatever you thought about him, the guy's a good defenseman and he eats minutes. I think he's better than good, in my opinion. But people say that I say that because he's my friend. But I feel like, he's a lot better than he's, you know, you hate to say other players he's had to play with, but the guy hasn't had a consistent partner since Nisky left.
Yeah.
And neither has anyone else for that matter. You can't sit there and say, oh, this guy's been lights out for the Flyers on defense the last few years just because of the way it's been.
Yeah.
You know, and so good for Provy.
Yeah, I think Provy just needed a fresh start.
I
think it's probably a year or two coming.
Yeah.
You know, fresh start, new city, new team, new vibe, Babs. But I'd like to think that, you know, a new situation for a player is always, it seems to be always a good thing.
Yeah.
Not always, but in his situation, it will be, because obviously he's an established NHL player. He's not fighting for a job.
Right.
I wish him the best. I love Provy.
Try to get him on before he takes off.
Exactly.
He's in Hawaii. He was just following you around.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right now.
You showed me that picture. It didn't look, nothing like the Hawaii I went to.
Yeah, no, for sure. NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Did you see Vegas up 2-0 after the first two?
I did not. No, I thought it would have been a split, and I certainly didn't think it would be as lopsided as it was. I'm still got some faith in the Panthers.
Big one tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Game three. Man, Vegas is good.
They're good.
Like, we knew they were good. Like, I'm not going to act like I didn't, but
yeah,
I didn't think they were going to win the games the way they have.
Yeah.
Kind of running away with it a bit.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see back in Florida. The push the first 10 minutes is probably going to be insane for Florida.
It's got
to
be.
It has to be. Yeah, yeah, right. You know, you can't be fighting from behind at this point because Vegas has them on the ropes now. And we've said that about Florida before. You know, we said it in the Boston series.
Yeah, they're resilient.
I myself said it, like, you know, this is probably over. And they fought back. They found a way. But it'll be a fun game to watch tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it sounds like Goody's back in the lineup.
Yeah.
Radko Gudas after that incredibly large reverse hit that you never see this guy take.
You don't usually see Goody going down, you know, from a hit.
That was insane. That was crazy. That was well timed.
Barbashev did that more than once in that game. He did it a couple times.
Big hits. Obviously, the Matthew Tkachuk.
I was going to say.
That was insane.
I think Eichel saw that last second, kind of toe pick. Probably going to try to.
Accidentally slipped, or is that a bailout? I mean.
Well, I think he was.
Saw it coming and just
I think he sees it coming, and maybe he's like, can I get out of the way of this? Then he toe picks, and it makes it probably worse.
I would say so. You know? He's almost like fully leaned into him by the time the impact happened.
I was actually like, it was a great clean hit. I was scared for Eichel because of his neck
reaction
issues.
There, right?
And the reaction, you know, like he basically was screaming going off the ice. And then if you saw him as he went through the tunnel, he was doing this. And I'm like, that's the worst case scenario. But you do have to keep your head up. He did return to the game, which was great. Like, nothing wrong with him. So, but what a hit.
That was a big boy hit.
What a hit, man. So we'll see tonight. We'll know by next week. We could have Stanley Cup champion by next time we shoot. But it'll be a fun game to watch tonight. And I hope it's a good game. And I'm kind of
I hope so too. I really like to see Florida squeeze it out and make this a series. Yeah, if it goes up 3-0, it's it's pretty much as good as done. But
I mean, what are your thoughts on Nikolai Jokic? Like this so far,
Yoki?
Yeah.
It's a high level.
You think he knows who he is?
High level performer.
He did something no one else has done in the NBA last night. He actually doesn't play hockey.
What do you do?
Don't worry about it. Another tripsy. Little tripsy double again. Up. Yeah. No, but seriously, let's hope. I like to see Florida get a win here and make it a series, like you said.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
But I'll tell you what. Tomorrow,
also Friday. Known as Friday, tonight.
It's Friday.
TGIF.
Friday. Yeah, and it's going to get started around 4 with our tailgate. With friends from Clear Rum and fans of Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to see Joe. He texted me yesterday. We were kind of going back and forth. He's pumped up. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And you got a DJ coming?
Oh, yeah. My boy Danny.
Some tunes.
Yeah, some tunes. Debo's going to be dancing. Oh. Girls, get there early. This guy on the D floor is sick. He's got skills.
Can't wait.
I can't either. You going to shave, Debo?
Yeah,
I'm kidding, buddy.
Fresh,
but
fresh
look. Excited about that. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna drink some clear rum in cans. I love
you like this cans, stuff.
I'll put some fruit in it for you.
Oh, why not?
Because you gotta have one.
A little jungle juice.
Yeah, you gotta have. Yeah, should make a big jungie. Yeah. A little jungle juice. What else you got, Riggs?
Well, this is it.
That's it? No, that's not it. At the end of this month, we are headed out to Arizona for the PHATS SPIM convention, Society of Professional Hockey Equipment Managers, with Tovey.
Yeah.
Prince Tovey going out for
Tovey
the
hockey.
Convention and show everybody how great this stick is. And it's really, even since we started with them, like, the evolution of this, the way this stick is going, like we just saw the next batch. We've got some NHL guys testing them now. Man, this thing's for real. And I can't wait to get in front of everyone there, all our buddies, equipment guys from all the leagues, and talk about this. I'm really fired up for it. I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. I really think this is the year for Tovey to really break into the NHL. Yeah. Last year, we went to this event, and it was very well received. Obviously, we got sticks made for a lot of these high-level performers, high-level scorers in the league. Just didn't crack the lineup this year, but I think this year it's going to happen.
Yes, I agree.
I just think the technology is undeniable. You know, the balance, you know, everything that, you know, we talk about, like, performers and like guys looking for tools to help increase their performance. I mean, I think it checks all the boxes. It's not just you know, a sales pitch. I mean,
right? You know, no, that's the truth.
I mean, that's the way I see it. I mean, if it really is about performance, you can't deny it. You know, this is going to give any stick out there run for its money and some. So I think I say the future of stick technology. I really believe it is.
And it really is going to go that way. It's going to be 50-50 here soon, because the more hands this gets in, especially now, like the man, like I just saw the new one, and we have a very well established NHL player shooting pucks with it, and he's amazed by it.
Yeah.
The way the puck comes off the stick. So we'll see. We'll see. And it's going to be a fun weekend in Arizona. Can't wait to see a lot of my friends, equipment guys, and talk and show them the stick and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Always a good time.
It is.
I think we're ready to rock here, Nast.
120?
120 with our good friend, Kobe Cohen. I think we're ready to go.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Suttlemyer. And this week, we're very fortunate to have our good buddy. This guy's got a national championship ring. He's got a Stanley Cup ring. He's been on every network, I think, available for hockey and do a great job. Mr. Kobe Cohen, what's up, brother?
You know what? I finally feel like I made it now that I'm sitting next to you guys.
All that hard
when
work.
When you texted me the other day, it was like, oh, wow, I've made it. The guys want me to come on. I've been tracking the show. Like, you guys get all the, you know, the good guests here in Philly, a lot of buddies of mine. Obviously, we've all crossed paths pretty frequently over the years. So it's good to see the setup in the flesh. You know what I mean? It's like, it's all becoming real now, you know?
Riley calls it the studio.
The studio. Well, welcome. Right. Appreciate you making the trek down from the shore.
Yeah.
You recently come back from Chicago.
Yeah.
Enjoyed some time on the East Coast.
Yes.
We miss the East Coast. It's, you know, we my wife and I, and we have a daughter. We were definitely excited to go to Chicago a couple of seasons ago when I started there, and we quickly realized, like, we're East Coast people. My wife grew up in South Philly. Oh. I mean, like, you know, you could throw a rock at Veterans Stadium for where she grew up. I mean, they had like debris on their house growing up when they knocked down Veterans Stadium. Oh, that's how close she grew up from the stadium. So. You know, I grew up in the suburbs. I can't claim South Philly, but you know, we're East Coast people. She lived in New York most of her life. I was in Boston for so many years and then here, and we felt a little fish out of water in Chicago. There's no doubt about that, but, it's good to be home. You know, obviously in the last couple of days, myself and the Hawks, we kind of mutually have gone our own ways. They hired Darren Pang, which is an awesome hire for them. Panger's great. I don't know if you guys have ever had him on this show.
We have not yet.
No. You should get him on because he's such a good personality. He's such a good ambassador for the game. I mean, kind of a no-brainer for them, if you ask me. If you can get Darren Pang, like, especially after losing Eddie Olczyk, like, you get Darren Pang. I mean, that's how it goes. So, you know, we're happy to be home. I mean, the shore is a great place. That's where we'll be this summer, and we'll we'll start figuring out where we're gonna get back to. Probably somewhere, you know, whether it's Lower Merion or Radnor or somewhere out in that area where I grew up, and it'll be good to be home for sure. Yeah,
nice. That's awesome. And I'm sure you learned a ton in the last couple of years, but even before that, you were working with NBC here in Philly and all that good stuff. So talk about like the difference between organizations and maybe learning from a different coach and different organizations, just players in general.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being in the broadcast world has, you know, you get so much access to so many different people. It's not just like the same every day. Mm-hmm. So I think like you get an opportunity, if you're smart, to really learn different areas of the NHL and the game. And when I worked here in Philadelphia, you know, I worked for the network. So it was kind of a little bit of a different scenario for me where I didn't, you know, necessarily, I wasn't a team employee. I wasn't in the room a lot. I wasn't, you know, I kind of kept my distance on all that. And when I was in Chicago, I was a team employee. I worked for the Blackhawks. So like I had different levels of access, became close with our management group, our hockey ops, you know, our assistant GMs, our scouts, our player development team. And, you know, it was actually really, that experience was awesome because I learned a lot about, you know, hockey ops and how the inner workings go and our GM and, you know, the GM in Chicago, Kyle Davidson, and I became friends. And so he just let me learn, basically. Like, it was almost like I had an unofficial internship with the hockey ops department, you know, with Kyle, even though I was on the broadcast side. And it was really cool. Like, when we were making trades, getting him take me through these things, explain these things to me, when we drafted players, like how we look at their path, how we develop them, how they were tracking them, like all that stuff. And it's fascinating. I mean, like I can honestly say, I think the Blackhawks hockey ops department really has it together with the path, you know, the rebuild, the path. And I just feel gratitude for being able to be a part of it and kind of learn all that stuff. It actually opened my eyes personally to thinking being involved in player development or in hockey ops would actually be kind of cool in the right situation, where I never really thought that before. Mm-hmm. I always said, you know, TV is an easy job. You do your film, you show up, you leave. You're not getting fired for performance on the ice, the team, all that stuff. So, you know, that was an awesome experience. And on top of it, I got to be in the broadcast booth some nights, be between the benches some nights. I did studio work, you know, in Chicago. I basically got to sit in every chair for a couple of years and get a lot of exposure with an Original Six franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the Wurtzes, they really know how to treat their employees. You know, obviously once, you know, you part ways, things change, you know, sports, you know, you go from you're in, you matter to see you later. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of what reality. Sports
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
But I mean, just can't say enough good things about Rocky Wurtz. You know, obviously, like, I know people are down on him because of, you know, what has happened there in the future. Look, I wasn't around for that stuff. I can just talk about my experience and the welcome that we felt, my family and I, as an outsider, you know, like I didn't play there and yep. they were warm and, you know, we were on first name basis with the owner and he was always around and he always wanted to talk about bars at BU because Rocky yeah. went to BU.
Oh, okay.
And his son Danny went to BC. You know, I won't hold that against him, but, you know, so it was awesome. It really was like, you know, anytime a team wants to put you on TV, I think it's kind of an honor,
right.
Especially yeah, for me sure. not having been one of their guys. And so, you know, it's disappointing in the fact that how it ended and but at the end of the day, they made their decision. We made our decision and I'm happy to be home. You know, I haven't been in the Voorhees area in a while, in a couple of years, and just driving around here, it just, you know, it just feels like home. It feels yeah. different. So
yeah. Well, that's amazing. You get some interesting experience there and. I mean, who knows? Maybe you should hit up Danny B.
So I was gonna say. So basically, everyone, we've yeah. got a GM in the
yeah, 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 yeah. Right? Get the resume out there.
No. Intern. I think unofficial intern.
This shit's easy, man.
It's exactly when you don't have to make any decisions. Yeah, it's easy. Right? When you're just like, learning,
yeah.
it's the easiest job in the world.
Yeah,
you know?
Right?
I mean, but I wouldn't want to have to be the guy to trade Patrick Kane. I could tell you that much, right? So
what was it like around when that was going on?
I mean, honestly, like, it was crazy because he's an icon in that city. Mm-hmm, I mean, yeah. he will get a statue. They have one statue of Michael Jordan in yep. the atrium at the United Center. He will get the next statue. Yeah. Taser, too.
Yeah.
I think Taser's in a little bit of a different situation because of his health issues and all that stuff, so he wasn't around quite as much. But the day that they actually made the trade, the office... it felt like a bit of a funeral
because yeah,
there was sure. a lot of employees that have been there and, you know, that's all they know. And look, for me, I get it. It's a business. We needed, you know, the team needed assets to rebuild yep. and they were doing a full tear down rebuild. And I give them credit because they're sticking to it and they're yeah. going to stick to it. Like Kyle Davidson is going to see his plan through. And I believe ownership's going to actually give him 5 years to do so. And I think it's rare to see that in a big market.
Yeah.
They want to win and they want to win now. Yeah. But when Kaner got traded, walking around the office, talking to like different people in ticketing and different people in marketing and this and that, there was a lot of really sad people. Like they were almost in mourning. It was weird. It felt like this sort of fog and stuff like that. So, definitely interesting and weird. I mean, it's yeah. really the only way to put it.
Yeah, it was the death of an era, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's like that
sure.
that franchise landed up between him and Taves not playing and him getting traded.
Yeah.
It's really kind of the end of that era, yep. that dynasty. And well, not a bad guy to replace Kaner getting Bedard.
I know.
I was like,
yeah,
talking about a 5 year
I think you were sneaking some envelopes.
How convenient.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was a fun, you know, kind of a fun night and something to be a part of. I was still working there at the time, so there was a lot of excitement and celebration. I was actually doing a show that night, so I wasn't at the sort of the team you know, the organizational celebration and watch party, because we were, as soon as it was over, you guys probably remember Pat Boyle. He used to work here in the day. So PB and I were basically, as soon as the lottery ended, we were going on to do a reaction show. And I mean, I was so pumped for the organization. I mean, look, I we all have been so close to this game for so long. So our reactions are generally a little bit different than fan reactions, you know, like our emotions probably all skew a little bit differently. And you guys know this, and there's so many people that sort of make the organization go round, wherever you are, Philly, Chicago, there's ticketing people, there's partnerships people. These people are out there busting their ass every day, trying to sell suites, trying to sell tickets, trying to do all this. And, you know, those people in Chicago have really taken it on the chin the last couple of years because of what happened in the past, right? Yeah. And those people had nothing to do with it. We had a bunch of 22-year-old and 25-year-old ticket reps that probably don't even know the story.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Don't even know what happened. And they are getting punched in the mouth every day in the ticketing department. So, like, right away, I was like, God, I'm so happy for the guy who's in charge of revenue, Jamie Spencer, the ticketing people, the partnerships people, because they're good people. Oh, Oliver wants to be a part of the episode. You know, like, I'm happy for those people, happy for Kyle Davidson. I think his job got a lot easier getting Connor Bedard. Maybe next year they'll get Macklin Celebrini, the next guy who's supposed to go number one, who I've seen play in the USHL this year.
Yeah.
Sick, going to BU, so I love that. Yeah. Obviously, super biased, I get it. But it was cool. Like, good for them, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, look, it's funny because my hope was, like, there were three things I wanted to see happen in the lottery. I wanted to see the Hawks get Bedard. And then after that, I wanted to see Danny Briere and his bunch get either the second or third pick. Because, look, I know Danny a long time, and I want to see Danny succeed. Like, I think we probably all share that sentiment because he's such a great guy. And same with Jonesy, right?
Yeah.
And then the third thing I wanted to see was I wanted to see San Jose in the top three because, you know, David Quinn and Mike Greer are good friends. I played for Quinny for years. Greerzy is just a great guy. I know him through the BU connection, through the hockey world, and all that stuff. So that was kind of my hope. Like, I was rooting for my friends to, you know, didn't work out that way for anybody else. Chicago gets Bedard, and, you know, we'll see what happens. Like, I think Fantilli is going to surprise a lot of people and be a really, really good player. I mean, Jack Eichel's on his way to winning his first Stanley Cup and Conn Smythe. Connor McDavid has neither of those trophies.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying Connor McDavid's not a better player because I have eyes, but I'm just saying, like, I think Vegas is going to win the cup, and I think Eichel's going to win the Conn Smythe trophy. And you know, I think this whole Bedard-Fantilli draft is similar to the McDavid-Eichel draft. I think getting two star players that can dominate a league. I really do. So, well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Well, since you talk about the playoffs, I mean, talk to your pick and maybe just like the nuts and bolts of what you've seen in the playoffs.
Well, I had Florida losing in the first round, getting swept. So I don't know.
Think you're the only person.
Right? I said that on Daily Faceoff on Frank's show. I was like, I just don't see Florida winning a game. So they've obviously proved everyone wrong for the last few months. But
that's my fault.
No, so. Look, I think Vegas is too good. I think we've seen it over the last two games. I think they're built so well through the back end. You know, I think Radko sort of being a little bit banged up really hurts Florida. I think he's such an impactful player.
It was
player.
Very noticeable once he left that game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, very noticeable.
I mean, and how often do you see him take a reverse hit like that and end up on the wrong side of it? I mean, you guys know him. You love him. He was my neighbor in Philly for years. Such a good dude.
He's an awesome
great
guy.
Family. I mean, I root for him, you know, but I think Vegas is going to win. I think their D core is so deep. When Jack Eichel's your best offensive and defensive player, you've got a really good opportunity to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
for sure. I honestly did not see it going. I know Goody, not playing the last game, but like I didn't see the scores being that lopsided. I did not expect that. I'm not going to lie, but.
Yeah,
like you said, they look like the better team. Now we said that when Boston was up 3-1
exactly.
I know, right?
Against this team. So a big game tonight.
Yeah,
you know, interested to watch, see how they do tonight, Florida.
Yeah.
Bob's back, and I read that Goody is going to play.
So. Yeah, but we probably know he's banged up, and yeah, he's just fighting sure. through for it sure. And stuff. So, you know, I think Vegas, you know, I will say this, you know, I think Vegas is a team that has found a way to play a tight system where their offense isn't affected. You know, a lot of teams that are defensive teams, they win low-scoring hockey right. games. Vegas is a defensive team that scores.
Right.
That's a combination that is deadly in especially this time of year.
Yeah.
And Marsh saw it, boy, he caught fire on.
Oh, my God.
Hey, every time he shoots a puck. But when you're hot, yeah. man.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Truth. Well, you played for Bruce Cassidy, and I think you know John Stevens just from being, yeah. you know, yeah. local on the East Coast.
Totally.
Here. Talk about, you know, your relationship yeah. with those guys. And
yeah, so, you know, love John Stevens. I actually would skate with him around here in the summers, mm-hmm. and I think we probably actually skated yep. together with him at times. And it's funny, like, I remember in the summer being like, whoa, like, okay, like, this isn't a summer skate. Like, yeah. his expectation is that yeah, I'm getting better on the ice today, which at that age, like, I needed that. So mm-hmm. I actually could come out of those skates probably a more disciplined, you know, more detailed player. And it's actually kind of surprising to me. I mean, did you have him as a head coach?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I never played for him. So you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's kind of surprising to me that he's not gotten another head coaching job because he's so detailed and he's so thorough. And I mean, I know as an assistant coach, players really like him. I don't know as a head coach how guys feel about him.
Yeah, I think guys love them.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, he's down to earth, honest.
Yeah, straight shooter. Well,
straight shooter,
you
yeah.
can only, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
You don't need sugarcoating as an athlete. You want someone to be straight with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think, like, the, you know, getting head coaching jobs, you almost have to win in your first, you know, your first opportunity becoming head coach to get another head coaching job in the NHL because there's so many good coaches out there. And
when we just keep retreading Mike Babcock.
Yeah, exactly. But he's got a resume, years. And I yeah. think, you know, the resume is generally like leads the way. And
totally,
you know, Johnny had that, you know, the interim stint there with LA, and then
they lost. He lost maybe to Vegas.
Yeah,
and every game was 1-0 yeah. or 2-1. Like,
yeah,
what do you do there? But
yeah,
I agree with you because. Like, I loved – I had Johnny as a player. That's how old I am.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you just brought up me being a grandpa. But, no, I had Johnny as a player. And you – Billy Barber was a coach of the Phantoms when Johnny was playing. And he really relied on Johnny and Sean McCaw. I mean, he basically let them run the team. Anytime I had a question, I'd go down to Billy. And, you know, what do you want to do here tomorrow for this? Just ask Rambo. We called him Rambo. Obviously, Johnny Stevens, his nickname's Rambo because he was such a warrior yeah. on the ice. He'd be like, just ask Rambo what he wants to do. And yeah. like, he literally always leaned on Johnny heavily yeah. As a player and a captain. And it's no surprise that he ended up being a coach. And
yeah.
I know you guys loved him. And
yeah, I love Johnny.
Guys played their balls.
Phantoms, Flyers. I mean, I just think he's just an overall absolute pro. I mean,
yeah.
he's so detailed.
So detailed.
Look you in the eyes and be yeah. honest with you. And again, you said, like, that's all you can ask for from a player's perspective. Know where you stand and just be honest with me. Just
look, and I think that's one of the reasons Vegas is so successful. You look at their decors, the strength of their team, they're mm-hmm. really disciplined, they're really calculated, but they're not tight. Petrangelo makes plays, White Cloud makes plays, Theodore makes plays. Like, it doesn't matter who you kind of, you know, it's just their decor is, it's big, it's strong, they skate. And I think Johnny Stevens should get a lot of credit for that. And if they win the cup, I hope he gets some interviews for head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I really do. And he's just like, he has that it too. Like, when he talks, like, look, I talk a lot. I know that about me, but like, if he's talking, like, I shut up. Like, he just has that it factor, John Stevens. So I just, you know, my limited experience with him, I see him now when they would come to Chicago, we would always talk, you know, we'd both talk about how much we miss the shore. Literally, it'd be literally the first thing I'd look at him and I'd be like, geez, you got a year-round tan. And like, where were you, just like in CIO last week? And he's like laughing at me. He's like, yeah, you're like a Margate guy, right? You know, so it's, you know, so like, love that guy. Like, just hope the best for him. His kids are great. I'm kind of surprised neither of them really made the NHL, because like, they were such good detailed players and kids. Usually those like coaches' kids can like figure it out.
But
and then 4 years with Bruce Cassidy, like, you know, definitely asking me this as a 34-year-old versus a 21-year-old, my perspective has changed on Bruce. You know, he was tough. Like, as a rookie, you know, I get traded from the Avs, where I'm a high draft choice. I'm getting given NHL opportunity just because of my draft status. Whether I was good enough or not didn't matter. That's how it goes. We know that. Whether I deserved the call up or not, I was the first call. You know, like, you know, it's just how it went in Colorado. I get traded to Boston. I get sent down. Bruce is my coach for the next, you know, 4 years, and it was difficult. I mean, he's a difficult guy to work with, honestly, and he was. He's eating my wedding ring now, but
hungry little fella.
Yeah, exactly. He's a growing boy, you know. He's only one, so we definitely had our battles, you know, and he was, you know, dealing with him on a person-to-person level at times was challenging, but I also probably have the wherewithal now to realize like the role that I played in all that. And I was 21, I was cocky, I was arrogant, thought I had the world by the balls. I thought I had played only a few in the games in the American League before I played my first couple in the NHL, and I was like, oh, like, this isn't that. You almost get this like false sense, like, this isn't that hard.
Yeah, right.
But like, you had a long career, and you know the hardest thing to do is not make it, it's stay.
Yeah.
And that's where I totally screwed up, because I took my foot off the gas and I worried more about, you know, not necessarily arguing, but just being combative with Bruce for 4 years and not just like listening and being a little more easygoing. And what I will say about Butch, as much as, like I said, we had our moments, we battled. If you do what he tells you to do, it works. Hmm. Like, he's as good an X and an O's coach as I've ever had or seen. Wow. Tactically, in-game adjustments. Hey, we're playing this team. We're in a playoff series in the American League against Hershey, and like, they're better, but if we do this, we'll win. We did it. We won. Like, he is that good.
Yeah.
Like, as far as in-game adjustments goes, like, I think Bruce Cassidy is as good as any coach in the NHL right now. I really do. He's like a savant, right? Like, he can see what's happening in the game in real time and make adjustments, which, you know, guys, I'm between the benches for a lot of games in the NHL, and like, it's chaotic. It's you're right in it. And like, sometimes it's hard to see these things. He sees everything. He doesn't even need the video. And so, you know, you take sort of the interpersonal stuff and you weigh it with how good he is. And that's why I think he continues to get hired. I think that the players ran him out in Boston. Yeah. I really do believe that's what happened, because I believe those types of coaches do have a little bit of a shelf life. You know, like, that voice kind of grows old. I've heard it about Hitch. I've heard it about other guys. I've heard JR talk about funny Hitchcock story. You're laughing, so you know the stories I'm talking about, especially with the bagel.
The blueberry.
Oh, geez. So I think that's the worst kept secret in hockey. But so, like, I really do. I that's, you know, and I think a lot of guys would probably agree with that when it comes to Bruce, is Butchie, as we all have called him, is like, he's a great guy to go have a beer with. You want to learn about hockey, like, go talk to him. Like, when Vegas would come to Chicago this year, I would always track him down, because I just like felt like if I got 5 minutes with him and I was like, what's going on with your team? Tell me about some of these players. I would learn. And I will say this, a lot of the terminology that I use within my like broadcast lingo is stuff that I learned from him. It's stuff he said. It's stuff that he taught you know, 'cause again, like, it's right. It's good, you know, and I've incorporated that into the way I break down the game. So, you know, I know that was a long answer, but like I said, if you asked me about him as a 21-year-old, I would have been like, you know, he's a prick. And that would have been the end of my conversation. But I think my perspective on it has all changed. And I think that I'm not surprised to see him having the success that he's having in Vegas. And I think that winning a cup for him will be a good thing. But I also know, like, he'll win the cup and then he'll enjoy it for a few hours and then he'll start being grumpy towards, like, winning another. Like, it's just he's wired.
It's interesting you say that, because a lot of guests we have and just players we know, all of us, it's funny how when they speak about former coaches, even Mike Keenan, guys that wanted to literally wring this guy's neck, choke him out, now they're like, looking back, maybe, you know. So it's interesting, as you guys were players, because I was on the other side of it, where like, I got to be buddies with the coach and I got to be, you know, you guys are my guys, but you know, a lot of guys come to my office and vent, this fucking guy, like, what? And I'm like, well,
you're like a therapist.
You know, and I'm trying to, you know, well, you know, he's, you know, this and that or whatever. But it's interesting that you say that, because now looking back, like you said, as you're a little older, you kind of understand it all.
Well, the other thing too, you mentioned and acknowledged it, like, you know, when you're a young guy, you don't have clear perspective on the situation, environment you're in, right? Like, you only know your situation and you think that like the world revolves around you almost, right? I seen this when I was coaching the Phantoms. You get these young guys that come in and, you know, like, they're drafted and, you know, they think that they're automatically on the team, they automatically get ice time. And then it lands up being exactly what you alluded to, is that like, you almost become your own worst enemy, because you're spending that energy worrying about him, and you're essentially a mirror. You know, the way you respond is, you know, how they're going to respond back to you. And those types of guys, you're not going to win with ever. If you butt heads with them, they'll bury you.
Never.
They'll bury you. And I've seen this, the Mike Keenans of the world. And, you know, I think Torts is kind of like that. And even back in the day,
they go right to the GM. Hey, this guy's being difficult. I can't stand it. Because they don't want to deal with it.
Yep. Right.
But it's honestly why, like, going back to what we were talking about, where I've like thought about like my own personal experience, I'm like, the game of hockey has given me everything. Mm-hmm. Literally every dollar I've made, even if it hasn't been hockey, it's been indirectly from hockey. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, everything, you know, I owe it all to my dad putting me into the sport, and it all kind of semi, you know, like having a good run of it, right? Going to BU, playing some NHL games, having a small career, going to TV, like all that stuff. So, you know, I'm really sort of thankful for it. And it's why, like, I'm like thinking to myself right now, I'm like I had every opportunity. Like someone says to me, like, well, what do you think happened? Like, why didn't you become a full-time NHL player? Like, you were drafted pretty high. You were on the right trajectory. And I'm like, well, it's my own, you know, well, did you not get a chance? Were you injured? Yeah, everybody deals with injuries. Everybody deals with, you know, other players getting drafted or traded. Like, I'm no different. But I think the thing, my perspective of it now is that, like, how much you can't take your foot off the gas and how you do have to get better every day.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just say that. Because I used to say that like everybody else. But then I'd go out and practice in the American League because I was tired from a 3-3. And I wouldn't get better that day at practice. Mm-hmm. Like, I would just go through the motions of practice. I'd sweat. I'd make sure everything was taped to tape. I'd, you know, make sure my feet were moving. But I wasn't really going
pushing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I think about now and I'm like, geez, like, you know, I've had conversations with a lot of the Chicago prospects, especially the BU guys. When I'm broadcasting, I'm constantly talking to these young guys and I'm like, look, like, ones that I have a relationship with, I'm obviously not doing this for someone random. I'm like, trust me, like, let me be sort of a cautionary tale for you. Like, let me tell you where I went wrong and like explain to you that, like, don't make that mistake. don't take that path. Like, you know, find a way not to go there, and don't worry about these other 10 things, because that who's getting called up? Who are they signing in free? Totally. You can't. And again, like, I wish I had somebody to that I listened to when I was 21 years old, but that's why now I'm like, you know, maybe, you know, being back involved in hockey, even if it's at the youth level here, even if it's, you know, with like the younger junior team, you know, we've got the Titans right up the road now and all that stuff. And I'm like, it's probably the first time in my life that I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, maybe that is something that would be kind of cool to do, just to, like, you know, try to give back some of the great things that I've learned from all different types of people.
Yeah. No, I love that. There's so many hard lessons that, you know, that kind of come around through the game, and in the moment, sometimes you don't like them, but as you evolve and grow older and mature, you kind of look back and you can make sense of them. And then to what you're talking about, like, actually maybe be an influence and teach them to the youth to not make those mistakes. Cause I have my own version of your stories. Like how could I have been better? How could I have extended this? You know? And it lands up being you become your own worst enemy. And you see this over and over and over again. It's you get in your own head, you're giving things out of your control energy, and it just robs you of your energy. You look at the pros, the elite players, obviously they got some God given talent, but they're also the hardest working guys, and they know how to direct and focus energy. Yeah. Like they don't deviate off the moment very often, very quickly. So, I mean, there's lots to learn, and I'm sure with your experience, you could probably help a lot of teams out, whatever that looks like. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing that, because it takes some ownership to be able to speak like that. And, you know what I mean? And to own, you know, your story and how it goes. Right. I mean,
I try to be realistic. I mean, it's you know, it's no different than we're talking about Darren Pang coming into Chicago and me kind of leaving Chicago. It's you know, it's the reality, right? I mean, you can sit there and you can, you know, blame everybody else, and you can, you know, this person screwed me or that person screwed me, but you're not doing yourself any favors. No. And, you know, maybe like you said, or like I said, it's at 21, like, but not at 34, not when you have a family and you have a kid and all that stuff. Like, you got to own these things. You got to be realistic about these things. And, you know, it's why I like, you know, like I'll do some things with the Atlantic District every now and again. You know, there's people still running the Atlantic District that were the people running it when I was playing and coming up through this area, you know, and John Riley, John DeNorcia, like all those guys, like they're still doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, any opportunity that I'm around, then I get to go. And even if it's to talk to the group for 5 minutes, or even if it's just to go sit in I don't necessarily like getting up in front of the group. It's not, I think young kids, like their attention spans. Like I remember being in that room and just being like, but I love just being able to go sit in the locker room and, hey, someone, you know, talk to a player, or maybe go talk to their parent and try to, like, hey, listen, like, take a deep breath here. Like, I understand where you're at. I had a parent who felt this way. I felt like, just you know, try to convince people, like, take a deep breath, step back, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's why I take those opportunities to still get involved with the Atlantic District and stuff like that, because I do think that, you know, kind of bouncing around and working at different TV networks, playing for different teams, getting different perspectives, doing just being around, kind of, right? And not just being in one bubble the whole time, because all these different markets are bubbles.
Right.
Like, right.
You get really consumed into your own bubble. And so, you know, I'm grateful for it. Yeah. I really am. So
for sure.
You speaking of like different bubbles, getting to work with ESPN and doing the college, the Frozen Four, you must love that.
Love it. Right? I mean,
you know, I don't want to bring it up, but someone scored a key winner for the national championship.
That was, you know, best moment of my sports career. You know, I mean, look, I was a part of the 11 Bruins Cup team, you know, being a black ace, but luckily getting to practice and travel with the team quite a bit. So kind of getting a little bit, you know, getting a little bit more, you know, being in Vancouver when we won, being on the, I mean, that stuff was really cool. But as athletes, like, you want to play, you want to have an impact, right? And the national championship game that year was a great year for myself, for my teammates, you know, my coach. It was you know, a brotherhood. It really was. College is a different beast than the NHL because you're all living together. Nobody's got a family. Nobody's
yeah.
got, you're all hanging out together. Everybody's going to the same bar on Saturday night after you win and this and that. So, you know, that was a great moment for me, the college championship. You know, I have a lot of pride in BU still. Jay Pandolfo is I think the world of him. I think that was such a great hire. Yeah. You had to have crossed paths with him.
I did, yeah.
You probably have as well.
I did, yeah.
Joe Pereira is the associate head coach, former roommate at BU of mine. So I love that program. I want it to succeed. I try to do anything and everything I can. It was difficult doing the Frozen Four this year when they were in it for me because – you got to be neutral and I actually felt like I probably went a little too far and got on them too much just because like I want to make sure even though Minnesota fans are like messaging me death threats on social media calling me a BU you know what and what I mean Minnesota fans, college hockey Minnesota fans and North Dakota fans are insane. They get really They're just, East Coast. I mean, they whine a lot. So those fans were pissed during that game.
Yeah,
but,
right?
But, that's a great event. I love working that event because I love working with John Buchagross and Barry Melrose.
Yeah.
They're two of my closest friends in the broadcast world. You know, Butchie is almost sort of like he's a mentor. He's a friend. He fills a lot of roles in my life. Barry is just, you know, the greatest guy in the world. I just, man, it's almost emotional talking about Barry because, you know, I think he's probably towards the end of the line on his broadcasting career. You know, and I remember when I first got elevated to the Frozen Four crew, the number one crew, and, you know, like they had a check with him and make sure he was okay with it because he was the lead guy and they were going to bring me in. I'm half his age. And he was then going to have to share with me as analysts. And you never know.
Right.
In that business,
you never know.
Guys don't want that.
Right.
It is like not like that. It's a very one, you know, out for yourself business. But Barry was so good about it. So warm, so welcoming. Let's have him at. He'll add to the crew. And was just such a good teammate to me. I mean, like I could sit here for 6 hours and just talk about how good of a person he is. I hate the shit that he takes online when he's broadcasting. You know, he's got, you know, some stuff going on and I wish that guy nothing but, you know, health and happiness and what, but he's such a good guy. Like way he treated crew members, fans, like he'd stay at the Frozen Four and sit outside the hotel and just pictures, autographs, pictures. Oh, and we'd be awesome. Like late for dinner and he'd be like, go without me. I'll be there when I'm done. He would never leave anybody hanging. He's friendly. He is what you should be as a person.
Right.
He really That's is. Amazing. Like he is what you should be as a person. So love doing the Frozen Four. You know, I hope the three of us are able to continue this year. You know, Barry didn't do the whole thing. He did about half of it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, there's a lot of things happening at ESPN right now, as you guys have seen in the news. So who knows how that's going to shake out. But, I think college hockey, like TV is like totally my passion.
Yeah.
I love doing it. It's just so much fun for me. There's so much meaning. The games are so different than NHL games. The crowds are different, all that type of stuff. So, I look forward to that continuing and I'm glad you brought it up. I always have to tell our producer, like, all right, it's been enough years. Like, we don't need to show the video this year. Like, they always want to do it and they want to prop me up. And I'm like so appreciative of it. You know, we have this like world-class producer, Josh Hoffman, who's actually the producer now of the Manning Cast for ESPN.
Oh, wow.
So he's big time.
That's
the guy's big time. And I'm like, all right, look, if we need it, if it's a blowout, but otherwise, like, let's make it about the game. Let's do that, you know, all that stuff. But it's I love that package. I mean, the whole thing, the people who organize it, the people who work behind the scenes in production, we go two strong weeks. We have a regional, we have a Frozen Four, we have all our meals together. We drink a ton. You know, Barry smokes cigars, you know, 7 times a day. You know, at breakfast, Barry's having a cigar. At lunch,
they're cigars.
They're cigars. Yeah. He's old school. He hasn't come to the other side. Exactly. And I keep trying. I'm like, Barry, these aren't good for you. Let me show you something that is good for you. I'm glad you brought that up, because like those guys just mean so much to me. Like John Butchigross, he is such a great ambassador for the game of hockey.
Yeah.
You know, I, again, another guy, they're two of my favorite people, and I would broadcast someone painting their garage if I got to do it with those two guys. Like that's just they're the best.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Remember last summer we were headed down for the trainers meetings, the PHATs, and I look up, and me and Riggs are just sitting there, we're waiting for the next flight, right? I'm like, this guy goes flying by, and I'm like, dude, that's Butchie.
Oh yeah,
that's and he's like, what? What? And I'm like, it's John Butchigross. He's like, where? I'm like, well, he's gone now. I almost went after him to say, yo, dude. Like, I wanted to say hi to him. But he was hustling. Like, it looked like he was
missing a flight or something.
Forget what was going on. And I said to you, he must be going here for something.
Well, where was where were the meeting?
We were going to Florida.
Yeah, well, he lives in Naples.
Yeah.
He lives in Naples.
Where were we going?
Well, it was around Naples, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, actually.
Yeah, Fort Myers or something like that.
He was... There was something going. I don't know if it was
Well, the playoffs are still going on.
Yeah, it must have been that. Yeah. He was going to catch a flight. But anyway, I wanted to say something. But if he hadn't been running, I would have been that
and
guy.
He would have loved it, because he loves talking hockey. And he's another guy. He gets stopped every 50 feet for a picture, for a selfie, for something. And he gives everyone the time of day. And it's genuine. Like, it's so genuine. And awesome. I think ESPN has like totally misused him. The fact that they haven't put him in more prominent roles, like, again, it's just my opinion. I think he should have been a way bigger face. He should have been given more games. His broadcast style is, to me, it's just so unique and exciting. He's just not your run-of-the-mill play-by-play guy that sounds the same as 25 others.
Yeah.
But he brings this enthusiasm, this excitement. His vocabulary is hysterical. He has the amount of times during a game. So we have our headset during game, and then we have a box. And the box has two buttons: cough, which kills your mic, and talk back, which kills your mic to the audience and links you to the truck so you can communicate with your producer.
Okay.
Okay. The amount of times during a game that I have to lay on the cough button because I am crying laughing at some phrase Butchie used. I mean, sometimes I don't get it and I just do it right out over the air.
Yeah.
But like, no joke, like I sometimes will get a cramp in my stomach while I'm doing a game with him because I'm laughing so hard the things that he says. Like, that's how much fun he is to work alongside. He's hands down my favorite play-by-play guy to work with. And he keeps it light and he keeps it fun and he's entertaining and he's everything broadcasting needs to be, not what it is, what it needs to be. Entertaining, right? It doesn't have to be this rigid, you go, I go. It doesn't have to be that way. And I think Butchie is, in my opinion, a pioneer towards that in the game of hockey. And, you know, I hope he gets the opportunity to continue that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, shifting gears a little bit, we're talking about, you know, broadcasters, media. Keith Jones recently takes the position of the president of the Flyers. Danny B obviously gets the official job title of general manager. You must have worked with Jonesy. I mean, I would say we put him up there as one of the best in the game 100%.
He's probably the best between the bench analyst in hockey.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the best booth analysts. And again, what you just love about Jonesy is that he's entertaining.
He is.
Like, he gets the assignment. He doesn't have to yell at you. He doesn't have to say, I'm smarter than you. He's not talking at you. He's talking with you.
Yeah.
And like, I try to think about, and I watch Jonesy as like a, hey, I need to, you know, like I try to pick things up from him that I'm like, this, he's so good at broadcasting. Yeah. He lightens that broadcast on TNT. Like, Kenny Albert is so good. Ed Zoe is phenomenal, but Jonesy's kind of the stir. Like, he stirs the pot on that broadcast. And I think they're so entertaining. Jonesy's so self-deprecating. He's there's nobody better. And I think the Flyers, their last two hires, in my opinion, you know, are two of the best I've seen them make since I don't know how long. I really don't.
I agree.
I mean, I grew up a Flyers fan. I was a diehard as a kid. You know, I had my LeClaire. I mean, I had a LeClaire jersey. I had a Renberg jersey. Like, I grew up on the Flyers. And, you know, my mom had a really close personal connection with the Snyder family. You know, her and Craig have a lot of history together going back to when they were little kids.
Oh, wow.
My mom was in the room in the 70s, drank from the cup.
Oh, man.
Has, you know, awesome. I think the story is like, you know, she drank from the cup. She danced with Bobby Clark. I mean, you know, so yeah. she was a part of it because, you know, her and Craig's relationship at the time. And I always say to my mom, I'm like, Mom, like, you really could have stuck that one out for us.
Yeah.
Like, my life probably would have been a little bit different. I mean, I'm like, you're killing me here, all right? Sorry, Dad, but, you know. And it's great. TBD anyway, because I'm half a foot taller than everyone in my family. So that calls for a lot of questions as is.
DNA sampling.
My dad's 5'9", 5'10". My older brother's 5'7". My mom's 5'2". I'm 6'4". Yeah. Something... I did do an Ancestry.com test.
The generation.
It did link me back to things that does make me think they are my real parents, but yeah. you never know, right? You never
Stick
know.
It out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and as long as I can remember, I just don't think you could have two better guys leading a franchise.
I agree.
I think it's two guys who get it. Danny is just such a like analytical, and I don't mean analytical in the sense of like spreadsheets and numbers. I mean his thinking.
Yep.
He's not a highly emotional, up and down guy. He's super even keeled. I think he's seen so many areas of the business over the past 5 years where he understands that what he does in the GM chair affects the ticketing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. He understands, and it really does need to be copacetic to make it work and really profitable, because a lot of these NHL teams, they don't necessarily make much money. Like, they're not big cash flow businesses.
Yeah.
Like, you just reinvest, and then your franchise grows in value because of the scarcity in them. So I think he totally gets that, Danny. And I think Jonesy's a trusted, you know, voice with the fans. I think he's one of the most well-respected people in hockey.
Yes. I agree.
I think he totally, like, I just see them being really good partners. Like, I don't look at it as normal, like, boss, underlay. I just think they're going to be great partners.
I fully agree with that.
And I think that's probably, you know, I saw the rumors about who the other people they were looking at for presidents and this and that. And you know, I lived it in Chicago where they didn't hire a president because they wanted the GM to be accountable for day-to-day hockey operations. And they didn't want someone breathing down his neck. You know, we all just saw the report that Shanny, you know, vetoed a trade for Tage Thompson on Kyle Dubas a couple of years ago for like a fifth-round pick. Like, what is the structure in that? Why are we hiring a GM if the president is just going to come
exactly.
in? And, so I think the Flyers nailed this. I really do. You know, and I've heard a lot of really good things from people down the shore who know Dan Hilferty away from the Flyers. They know him from, is it Blue Cross and Blue Shield or wherever his background is. People that I've known, people that are South Philly people that have been around forever, and like, they've said a lot of good things about Dan Hilferty, and you know, the term I keep hearing is like, he gets it, you know. And I'm not sure I heard that necessarily about some of the previous sort of leadership in the organization. So I think it's going to be probably a painful couple of seasons for Philadelphia, because I just think like the Hexy rebuild halted and then they went away different. And I think, you know, the Rangers, in my opinion, are a cautionary tale. If you half rebuild and then you try to like expedite, you end up signing players, you end up going for it, it doesn't work. Yeah. Now you've got a bunch of young players who never developed properly. They got rushed and then they got buried on the third and the fourth line. Their growth is stunted because they weren't getting the minutes that Zibanejad and Kreider and Panarin were getting for all their money. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden the Rangers look slow. And now, like, who they had the first pick, the second pick, none of. So you can't rush these rebuilds.
Right.
You have to be patient. And not every ownership group can stomach that. But I think Danny has a hard job. I mean, he has a hard job. I think it started with the Provi trade. I've seen, you know, other guys' names out there. I'm sure they're going to be listening on a lot of things. Look, you can't rebuild without assets.
That's right.
You need assets. Yeah. And I know it's going to be difficult for Flyers fans to say bye to players that they probably like and care for, but it's the nature of the business. And would you rather like 5 years of losing in the first round, or would you rather putting together a strong core of young homegrown players that eventually you can marry with some free agents and really sustain and press? Like, took Tampa 5 years, 6 years of getting one round, two round, three round. It took, you know, the Blackhawks, they had to build it. You know, you see these teams that, you know, they stumble, then they're back the next year. Like, it's a growing process, right? Yeah. And I think Danny's got a tough job. Like, I don't think it's easy what is ahead of him, but I personally have a lot of faith in him and Jonesy. And you know, look, it's Philly. People love hockey here. They do. I mean, the passion sometimes comes off as anger, but they love hockey. I mean, they really do.
Yeah,
no doubt. Yeah, I'm looking forward to see where he goes with this. I mean, I think the Provi trade, you know, is one of those guys that, you know, he's been in Flyer for 7 years and probably tough to see him go. But I think the return on it is good. I mean, his first move to get a return like that and start the rebuild with some picks.
Yeah.
And, I like to think that there's probably a couple other guys that are gonna go. Absolutely. Probably similar situation. Maybe move up picks here in this first draft, and I think he's gonna be aggressive out of the gate. I mean, you have to, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you can't sit there and play it safe.
Got to take some swings. Yep. And I will say, because you know, in Chicago, one of my sort of roles was like the prospects and the draft stuff. Like anytime we had prospect or draft stuff, I was the one on TV doing it. So I've done a lot of sort of you know, work on this draft. And what I can tell you is that the 22nd pick, you have a chance to get a number one player at 22, which is what they got for Provi. I mean, there are forwards in this draft, and more forwards than defensemen. But you know, between 15 and 30, there's going to be three or four players that are like David Pastrnak that are in the 20s that become franchise star players. So, you know, I think loading up in this draft in particular is important. And I think, you know, like you said, wouldn't be shocked to see Danny go out and try to get another first this year and move some guys. Because again, like, you get three first round picks in this draft.
Yeah, it's big.
You have an opportunity to set the core for a long time if development is managed properly. I mean, because there are a lot of studs. I mean, studs. I mean, I've watched a bunch of film on a lot of these. You know, I watch college hockey all the time. I went to a bunch of USHL games in Chicago towards the end of the year. I watched quite a bit of WHL and OHL playoffs because there's a number of forwards that are really intriguing, and the Blackhawks were picking first and 19th. So I was looking at guys who could be in that 19th.
Who do you think they're taking it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now that I don't work there. Well, I'm allowed to say it now that I don't work there anymore. We weren't allowed to say it while we were working there. We couldn't actually say it. Really? So I think everybody knows. Yeah. But you know, like, I had spoken with our GM about guys at 19 that they were potentially looking at, and he gave me some names and stuff. So I would go and watch some film on these guys on Instat, and I'm like, there are some really, really intriguing players. So I think Danny's going to get a good opportunity with someone at 22. I think, you know, I'd love to see him be aggressive and get up more. I think it's harder this year because everybody knows how good it is. But I will say this too. I did a number of BC games last year. That Cutter Gauthier kid is a stud.
Yeah.
Like, he is a stud. Now, him going back for another year, I can't be more in support of that. I mean, I think that's such a smart decision for the Flyers to leave him in college for one more year. BC's got probably the number one recruiting class in the country. They've got like seven studs coming, six or seven studs, like, from the U.S. national team. They got the kid Will Smith. They've got like the whole line, Gabe Perreault, all those kids that tore it up at USA. They're all going to be first round picks. They're all going to BC next year. He's going to be surrounded by good talent. Brown is an awesome coach at BC, which is hard for me to say, but I think Cutter going back to school it shows you Danny's approach is going to be a little more patient, and like I said, I hope that he's afforded the time to really see his plan through, because I think we all know and we've seen this business leashes get short quick. Yeah. It gets late early. But I do think there's a lot of opportunity for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Carter Hart's name's thrown out there quite a bit lately. And, I was reading something today, potentially trying to trade him for moving up another or for another pick in the fourth overall with San Jose. I don't know if you saw that at all, but I can see what you're talking about, you know, knowing the strength of the draft, but then also the other side of it is like, the other teams know the strength of the draft, yeah, too. And is this the year to be giving up these high picks, too?
If you can get in the top five, Riley, yeah, I mean, you're getting almost a slam dunk. And, you know, if you can get picks in the first round, like, you have opportunities, like I said. I mean, you know, Joel Farabee was a little bit later in the first round. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, back in the day, Mike Richards was a late first round pick, or mid to late. You know, I think Carter was a little bit early and he was a little bit late. You know, I always go back to Pasta. He was somewhere in the 20s. Think about all the teams that skipped over Pasta. You know, and we can do that with every draft, right? True, like, we don't need to be armchair GMs here, but the reality...
I like doing that.
Yeah, though. Of course. Because we don't have that. Exactly. From this seat, it's like, no big deal. But, you know, it's not like drafting a team for checking for charity. We're still working on our first win from, like, 3 years ago. But
last year.
So... You know, I there is opportunity, and I think, you know, Danny knows that and sees that, and I think I've already seen he started making some moves within the hockey ops department, getting some of his guys in there. You know, I know I just saw he promoted, I think it's Riley Armstrong, to head of player development or something like that.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
They let some people go and they made some changes, I believe, right? And the interesting thing is like, I remember years ago, I believe he hired Riley Armstrong to be a coach in Maine.
Yeah, he was a head coach there, right?
I will tell you, like, consistency is important. And Danny told me, like, maybe four or five, whenever he took that team over in Maine, how much of a bright future Riley Armstrong had. And he said that to me a number of years ago, and you like to see these guys sort of stay true to their word. You like to see consistency in what they say. You don't want people that are flavor of the month people.
Right.
You just don't. And seeing Danny make some of those moves, you know, unfortunately, one of my old hockey coaches, John Riley, gets let go, who's someone I've known since I was a young kid. He was my coach. But I like the consistency factor of what he told me about Riley Armstrong years ago. And now all of a sudden, you see where this guy has taken himself. So I think those types of small things are really important in how you handle business, because you want people to come play, work, you know, want to be there, want to go through a wall for you, want to answer the phone at 11 o'clock, like all those things. It's important.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I heard the same thing about Riley Armstrong, so I'm not surprised to see him move up. He's been at Lehigh for the last couple of years with Lappy there, so... Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a new vibe, you know. It's interesting to see, and I'm excited for it, because we're obviously excited. Big supporters of Danny B and Jonesy, but it needed to happen, right? Like, the ethos of the team or the organization needed to change, and I think it's kind of, I don't want to say a new guard, but like it feels like a new beginning is what it feels like, you know.
And it's funny, like, I always follow, regardless of where I've ever played or worked, like, I grew up a Flyers fan, and like, that stuff never truly leaves you. Like, there were moments of disappointment. I remember not, you know, sitting at the draft, them skipping me with like the 40, I went like 45th, but they had like the 43rd pick. And like, I remember the most mad I've ever been at the Flyers is when they didn't pick me at 43, which, I mean, you can't argue with it now, but, but you know, I've always been a Flyers. I mean, again, you grow up with it as a little kid. Mm-hmm. It might dull, it might fade, but there is always that connection to what you grew up and your childhood. And so I've always kind of kept an eye on things and you know, knowing what was going on. And I definitely think, like, this whole, well, we need people who aren't Flyers. Like, I don't really understand that, because, like, honestly, there's such rich history here. And I think, like, again, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, the Torts said it, and I agree with him. You're talking about being a Flyer like it's a disease. Like, what is that all about? Like, this organization has rich history. You know, Ed Snyder was a pioneer in this sport. I loved what Jonesy said. I watched the live stream of his opening press conference, and he said, like, this is still Mr. Snyder's team. Like, yeah. I want to do right by Mr. Snyder. And like that perspective, like, I was really happy to hear him say that like, I wouldn't have been a hockey player if not for Ed Snyder, because Ed Snyder brought hockey to Philly. My dad played, like, wanted to be a hockey player because of Philly, because of the Flyers. He grew up in this area. That's all because of Ed Snyder. Like, if Ed Snyder wasn't that, like, I don't know if I end up being a hockey player. I don't know if my dad played hockey. Then I don't know if I played hockey. So, you know, he created hockey. Like, I mean, now Philly has kids making it. You know, we've got all these young kids in the NHL. We've obviously got Johnny Gaudreau, who's a star, but then there's all these other kids, Eric Robinson, Buddy Robinson, you know, Tango is obviously, Tangrady's retired now. It used to really just be him and I, like, we were really, there wasn't a lot, you know, Chad Kolarik was a little bit before us, but there wasn't this influx of players from this area, but now there is. And none of that happens without Ed Snyder.
That's right.
And so perspective on that. It was really great to hear Jonesy say that. And it's funny, like, I sent my mom that clip, and like, it just, that, I mean, brought a smile to her face, because, you know, my mom is no longer, and she let me know this in a text message, a Chicago Blackhawks fan. that was the easiest separation for her she's ever made in her entire life. Like, she goes from, you know, her ESPN Plus subscription watching every Blackhawks game to, you know, I think she was more, you know, she laced some profanity in there when she was talking about them. So it's important. It is. You played here. Like, I never even played here, and I know it, you know, so you know it. I you know it, how important that is.
Oh yeah.
And you've been here longer than anybody.
Yeah, exactly. So, old balls over here. I think, to your point, you know, since Ed Snyder's passing, like, the essence, the spirit of a team is kind of, you know, dissolved almost, right? And I think to Jonesy's quote and what I'm feeling is kind of like, not that we're ever going to go back to the Broad Street Bullies in that era, but the essence of what the Flyers represented and stood for, I think, is, like, you know, is coming back, and it feels like that, you know, the vibe and the energy and the direction. So at least that's the way I see it. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, I think that's important. There just used to be a way about it, right? I mean, in the summertime, I wasn't a Flyer, but I would come skate, and you'd say to me, you need your skate sharpened, you need here's a stall. Like, you know, like, it was the way you guys treated me. Like, I wasn't a Flyer, I was a Bruin, and or a Bruin property, or however you want to say it, and I'd come, and you treated me no different than you treated all the other guys. And I think that stuff starts at the top. I really do. Like, I think that stuff starts at the top, and it trickles its way down, and that's why I, you know, however long I've been running my mouth here, you know, talked about the Wirtzes, because I think that's what they want in Chicago. I think that's how they want their players and their people to feel, and I think it starts with them. And it goes on down. I think Mr. Snyder was that way. And all I ever heard about, you know, like, I met Ed, you know, I met Mr. Snyder a couple of times. I didn't know him. Like, I know, Craig, you know, and Jay a little bit. But all I ever heard was that guy would have done anything to win. He would have, and when I mean anything, he would have begged, borrowed, stealed, bought. It didn't matter. He wanted to win, and he wanted people to want to be here, want to play here, want to be a Flyer, you know, all of those things. And that wasn't a secret, even if you weren't in the organization.
That's right.
You know, and that's powerful. I mean, as a kid, anytime there was a free agent, they always ended up a Flyer.
Yeah,
like, they did. I mean,
just to line up around the corner.
It was whether it was when JR came, whether it was when, I mean, Forsberg, everybody ended up a Flyer because they all wanted to come and be a part of what Ed Snyder built, and, you know, be around the organization and guys like you and the rest of the group that made you feel a certain special type of way. And Danny and Jonesy lived that.
Yeah.
And so I think when you pair them now with Valerie, who's new, and again, like, I just live this in Chicago, like, a new person comes in, they have a different perspective, they come from a different sport. It takes a little bit of time to realize, okay, like, I want it this way. It used to be that way. Where is that middle ground of what's going to make, you know, our fan base happy? What's going to push us into the future? We do need to think about the future. The audience is getting younger. People are consuming things differently. Like, that stuff matters. So finding that sort of happy medium and that balance between the future and the history, I think the organizations that figure that out are the ones that are going to be successful, you know, on and off the ice and with their fan bases. And that's why, like, to me, Jonesy as president of hockey ops to work hand in hand with the president of business ops and with ownership, I think you hit a grand slam with that.
Yeah, I fully agree. Yeah. Couldn't have said it any better, honestly. Yeah. Teed it up.
Yep.
Well, Kobe, we appreciate you making the trek and hopping on.
Yeah, this has been awesome. I made it. I really appreciate it. I'm Nasty Knuckles.
I've seen
all the great guests that you guys have had, and you know all the good guys that have kind of come through here. So I you know, when that 610 number popped up, I'm like, is someone punking me? Because I have Riley's number, but it's not this. So I'm like, did he get a new phone or?
Sneaky, Cudsy. Oh, Cuddles, Cote. Thanks to you.
Oh, it's my fault, right? Hey, I'm an easy target. Just pile it on. Let's go, you know? I mean, just let me have it.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate you, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's great to see you.
Yeah, it's good to be back. And I guess maybe this year I'll have to make a return to checking for charity. You know,
there we go.
If you guys are still holding my spot for me, since I'll be here, you know. So
We got some space on Natty Light or our other skate.
Team,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, team.
That's right.
Nothing makes me laugh harder than when you guys put a clip up from, what do they call? I'm like drawing a blank. What's the little camera they have in the rink now that you can like see like public? What do they call that?
Live barn.
Right. Like nothing makes me laugh harder than when you guys put a clip up and like you're either falling or you're yelling for the puck and you're getting looked off.
You can't blame them.
I mean, I said this about you. You're a hockey IQ guy. You just need the skill to catch the IQ and then you'll have it all.
I know what I'm supposed to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just can't get it.
You've watched enough of it.
Point guard basketball, so I see everything. It's a matter of my middies.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got to
get the pins moving.
The feet and the hands to catch up here, and you're a complete player.
Oh, yeah. If that's all I need.
That's all you need.
I mean, piece it together.
There's a skill.
Just put it all together. Connect.
There's a skills coach here somewhere, right? I mean, Angelo's got to get skill session.
We're going to do some sessions there, Nas. Don't worry.
Oh, man. We'll get it together.
That's what I'm going to do. Next time you guys bring me back to have me on, I'm bringing gift cards for skill sessions.
Yeah, right.
That's going to be my
piece it all together.
I need it.
The full package over here.
For sure. Oh, man. We do appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Big thank you to our friend Kobe Cohen. Awesome dude. Yeah. Appreciate him making the trek to the studio.
Yes.
Sit down.
Sure.
Interesting guy.
Yeah, awesome guy.
Yeah. Nice to see him find himself, you know, post playing and, you know, doing a really good job on TV. Obviously, he's in a little bit of a transition right now, but I always, you know, thought highly of him and just respected what he, you know, the way he came across and the way he delivered his message on air. So, wish him the best. I think he's got a lot of lessons learned in the hockey space and hopefully he can translate them wherever he goes.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure he won't be out of work.
No, I agree with that. Take a little breather.
Yes.
Relax down by the shore. Who knows?
Yeah.
Opportunities will present themselves sooner and later.
For sure. He's a smart guy.
Yeah. What time is it, Nast?
I believe it is time for the Clear Questions brought to you by Clear Rum. Can't wait.
Oh, you're getting excited again.
I'm getting excited. Baller.
Mike A. over on Twitter. He wants to know, Dry Island comes up a lot on this show. Could you explain what it is for those who may not know?
Riggs, I'll let you take it. You were a player.
Well, I never signed up for the Dry Island, but
imagine
Peter
that.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I was being honest.
Yeah, you were being honest. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, a lot of guys didn't.
Yeah, so Peter Laviolette, you know, joins the Flyers, obviously, when John Stevens gets fired in 2009-2010 season, and he lands up creating this Dry Island, basically challenging guys to put their name up on the board, saying they subscribe to the Dry Island, that they won't drink till, what was it, the end of the season?
End of the season.
It was quite the distance there. And, you know, and some guys did subscribe to it and other guys didn't. And it was, a little mixed reviews on it. But I think, you know, the guys that didn't were just honest with the fact that they probably were going to have a drink from, you know, it was before Christmas, here or there. It wasn't about, you know, going out and getting shit-faced, but it was just about, you know, not fully subscribing to sobriety, you know, right. in the middle of a hockey season.
Did Ash sign?
I don't think he signed up.
He didn't sign up.
Okay. I didn't sign up, and you know that was back when I was drinking. But I, you know, but it was more about like I just knew that in the next 5 months there was probably gonna be an occasion that I was gonna have a beverage, so I wasn't gonna.
And there was.
Yeah, there was probably more than once.
It was probably more than once.
But you know, it was one of those things where. I understood where Labby was coming from
right.
with this. You know, you're getting guys to be committed and all that stuff and, you know, and subscribe to something. It's just, I think it's, you know, in the culture we live in, especially in the hockey culture, it was tough for some guys to subscribe to. So some guys put their name up, some guys didn't. I think ultimately it was about, you know, the betterment of the team. But I think it took a lot of heat once the media kind of got a hold of it and it was like, well, you didn't put your name up on the board. You're not, you know, you're not committed to the team and all this stuff. And it's like, it's a pretty, you know, tough spot to put a player. Yeah. But if you didn't drink or already and you definitely weren't going to drink, like put your name up there.
Yeah,
but if you know,
sure.
if you know you're going to probably, you know, violate that, there's no sense in being dishonest with your teammates. So you respect guys too. But I think the media kind of grabbed the hold of it and kind of.
Our buddy Frank broke that story.
Oh, Frank broke it. Yeah. Frank, thank you. You know, kind of made it seem like something it wasn't, and you know, started maybe harping on guys for not putting their name up there and making it seem like they weren't great teammates, whatever it was. But you know, I think it was just a challenge. You know, coaches challenge players, and they, you know, there's just different ways of doing it. And you know, Dry Island was just one of Lavi's things to see if he get guys to buy in, and you know, so it was what it was. You got any thoughts? Were you on that list?
I was not on that list. Yeah. I don't know if any of the staff signed up, but I knew I was probably going to have.
You went to the wet island.
I was on the wet island. Yeah, I was in the water.
You were.
I was in the water. Yeah. I like to get wet.
You were fully wet. Submerged.
Yes, I was. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
All right. We got one from Ike Barrows over on Twitter.
Bearsy.
Do you think the Flyers would have had a cup run if Bob wasn't traded?
Man, that's just so hard to say, you know? Like, everything changed so much when we've had a lot of people say, like, you know, even Richie and Jeff Carter, like, they blew it up. Like, when we were, you know, still, you know, pretty good team.
Yeah.
Like the next year after the finals, we lost in the second round, I believe. And then, you know, that was Bob's rookie year, if I'm not mistaken. And then Briz came in and they just didn't seem to, you know, I don't know. I shouldn't say, it's not like they were arguing or anything.
No, I think like, it was just a position. Like Bob and his agent wanted, I mean, they thought
he wanted to play. So, I mean, we were nowhere close to winning a cup. Realistically, after that, after 2010, like, let's just be honest, we did make the playoffs. Briz's first year, we beat Pittsburgh, and then, you know, ended up getting, well, we lost in five to New Jersey. So realistically, I mean, could Bob have won a series against New Jersey? I mean, we don't know that.
Yeah, it's tough to say.
Good question, but it's hard to say. You know, now Bob's gotten to the finals finally in his career. Hasn't had a whole lot of success realistically in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
But I don't know. That's not all on him either. But that's a tough question because we never really
had a chance with Bob to get in those situations.
Bob, yeah.
I mean, you could argue if you had Bob, you know, when we line up going to the finals, but that wasn't the situation. It was before his time. So, yeah, I mean, you always think of the teams that win, they have some version of a franchise goalie, like that, you know, that staple goaltender that's, you know, between the pipes. You know, again, when we went to the finals, it was a shit show, juggling goalies around, you know, obviously a lot of injuries. And Bob went and gets his experience, you know, other places, and now he's in a situation where he has a chance to win a Stanley Cup. But yeah, it's tough. It's a tough question, but I think when he was here in that situation, there was no opportunity to really push the envelope to win a Stanley Cup. But I think it's important to have that pillar.
Yes.
If you want to go the distance, there's no question.
Obviously, looking back, you would have loved to have Bob to stay because Briz didn't work out.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so it would have been nice to see what Bob could do.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll never know.
Yep. We'll never know.
Good question, though. I understand that. Yeah.
One more from Anthony Giampaolo over on Twitter. Anthony wants to know, with a few baseball games postponed due to smoke air quality, what's the oddest reason a game has been canceled or postponed that you remember?
Personally?
What was the one with Sal Rafa single-handedly shut down the Waltman Bridge?
The game did it start late?
Or I thought they delayed the game.
He had an axe.
Do you remember that?
Get Sal on.
We got to get Sal on for this story.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he got in an accident, really, and the whole bridge couldn't come across it, right? So they backed it up. They backed the start up.
Yeah.
We did play.
Yeah, so Sal Rafa was the assistant medical trainer for the Flyers, and I forget how the story goes, but he got into some version of an accident. I don't know if it's his fault or whoever's, but I think he single-handedly shut down the Waltman Bridge where they postponed the game because no one could get over the bridge to get to the game.
Right, yeah, right. That's so right. I totally forgot about that.
Pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, but other than that, I don't think... I remember us not having a morning skate one time in New Jersey, back in the old Continental Airlines arena, because it was some sort of flood, but they had to pull the carpet out of the locker room and everything. That was when Hitch did, what's that song, Young Derek?
That was that day. Shakira.
But we did play the game, but we couldn't practice in the morning because the room was flooded.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I can think of.
I did see one in the East Coast Hockey League in Johnstown where the roof caved in. Four games.
Really?
Oh yeah, like snow piled up, God, and a hole in the roof. I know that's the East Coast League, but
right,
but obviously definitely postponed.
Yeah, postponed the league. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, there's probably some stories out there. The Sal Rafa one comes
to
mind.
Personally, that's the only one. Is the Sal, it wasn't canceled, but it was postponed.
It postponed. Yeah,
we have to ask him about that.
You have to bring him on.
Great question.
Yeah, well, that's a wrap, Nas.
All right,
good questions in the books.
120.
120. Whew. You better get some rest. I need you tomorrow. I need you.
Listen, don't bring any pillows or blankies because you're not getting a nap.
I'm going strong. 4-7.
And no, we're going earlier and later than that, so don't even try it.
All right, Nas.
See you guys tomorrow. Can't wait.
Yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Tune in next week for 121. Till then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
Yep.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.